Hello, everyone. Let me ask you a question. What are your buttons? You know what I mean? Things that when they get pushed, right? When people push your buttons, it typically results in you saying or doing something that most likely you later really wish you hadn't said or done. You know, some people have lots of buttons. I don't think I have that many, but I do have some. One of them is tailgating. I'm not talking about barbecue before a football game. No, those are awesome. What I'm talking about is when a car comes right up on your tail when you're driving down the road. Man, the other day I was coming in just this week and on I-70 between Eagle and Edwards, and I'm passing a semi, okay? I'm going 75, maybe a little bit over 75, which is the speed limit, 75 is. Anyway, this car just comes up right on my back end, flashing lights at me, feels like inches off of my bumper. Now, in the past, I've responded very poorly to situations like that. This time, I didn't visually respond or react negatively to that person, but it just made me so mad, and I stewed about it, right? Ruined my drive-in, and it just upset me, right? I thought about what is going on with that. I think you can relate. Friends, here's the question. In that moment, in those types of moments, how does our faith in God make a difference? I'm not just talking about law and guilt, right? You know, the sense of, oh, I knew that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. No. How does God's word equip us for when our buttons get pushed? Because it does. Okay? Guys, today and next Sunday, we are taking a two-week break from the book of Acts. Some of you are thinking, what does this have to do with the book of Acts? Right? Taking a two-week break from the book of Acts and taking a very short but quite deep dive into the Old Testament treasure trove, the really, really amazing gift of wisdom that is the book of Proverbs. But first, today is Sunday, June the 27th. 2021 still. This is Trinity Online. I'm Pastor Ethan. And once again, thank you so much for joining with us. Okay, are you ready? Guys, get a Bible if you don't have it. There's a lot of scripture we're going to look at today, multiple of these short proverbs. And if you have trouble tracking with me in your Bible, go to the website. If you're watching this video on the website, I've got a link right below the video that if you click it, will open all of the scripture sequentially and how we're going to look at it today. So if you're watching this on your computer, maybe you do that on your phone or vice versa. But it'd be wonderful for you to be able to track with me with your own Bible, because if I can get you hooked a little bit into Proverbs, you're going to want to see what is around this, because it's just awesome. Okay, let's begin. I'm going to read the opening, really the thesis statement, at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1. And this is what we read. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then we have the thesis statement to the entire book of Proverbs, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, friends, it's very likely that you are very familiar with the book of Proverbs, but just in case you're not, a few things up front. Proverbs is one of the five books in the Old Testament that we refer to as the wisdom literature, as the books of wisdom, along with Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. You know, the Proverbs at a very high level, if you just open it up and start reading through them, you'll quickly see that they are incredibly thought-provoking, stirring at times, convicting at other times, and sometimes just downright funny. But through them all, the Proverbs are truly a really, really wonderful gift of wisdom from God. And when we say wisdom, simply what we mean is the combining together of knowledge, experience, and good judgment to make sound, wise decisions. And through the lens of the follower of Christ, right, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is our knowledge, experience, and good judgment led and informed by the presence of Christ in us, by the Holy Spirit, to lead us to make sound and wise decisions. It's an important thing to realize what the Proverbs are not, because sometimes this is misunderstood and actually can lead to lots of confusion. Friends, the Proverbs are not promises. When I was in seminary, one of my professors in my Old Testament class used to say that the Proverbs are statements or sayings that are true, except when they are not. I'll give you an example. Proverbs 22:6 says this, and this is a very famous one. Start your children off on the way that they should good. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Right? You may be familiar with the rendering of that says, raise up your children in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will not turn from it. Unless, of course, they do. Because that's a principle, a powerful principle, actually, but it's not a promise. And this is true of all Proverbs, biblical and otherwise. You see, the Proverbs aren't promises. Rather, they are practical, intensely practical, and powerful principles of wisdom from the heart of God. And there's some big overarching principles that we see throughout the book of Proverbs. Three of them are this: desire wisdom at all costs. Desire and get wisdom. Don't be a fool. Don't be lazy. And then just another one for good measure: don't go into debt. How about that one? But friends, at the core of all of the Proverbs is one consistent theme. The greatest and ultimately only source of true wisdom is the Lord. It is God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably the most famous of all the Proverbs, says, trust in the Lord, not in your own wisdom, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. Some translations say acknowledge Him, but a better word is, in all your ways, fully trust, fully submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. As I said, today and next Sunday, we are going to be looking at two of the principles that we see in Proverbs. And they are how we respond in the moment. That's today, just a sec. And next week, the concept of what we value. So, today's principle, and guys, this is incredibly practical and penetrates to virtually every situation we deal with every day. You see, it turns out that you have a superpower. I'd say, hey, no, I don't. I'm not a superhero. You might not be a superhero, but guys, you have a superpower. And it turns out that this is something that comes out of you, whether you recognize it or not, when life happens, right? Bam! Something happens, right? You're in a situation, and friends, your superpower is the power in that moment when life happens to respond and not react. Now, let me say that again. Your superpower in the midst of life, when life happens, boom! It's the power to respond and not react. Right, let's push into this. You see, guys, just a basic reality of all of our lives is that much of life is experienced in the moment. Right, something happens and we have to address it right there. Right, not big some theological construct or philosophical idea, but right in the moment. Life happens. Life is lived in the moment. Right, something happens. Car tailgates you, a car cuts out in front of you. Your child is late. Maybe your employee's late for work. Your food arrives cold, right? Your husband doesn't do what you ask him to do. Boom! What happens? How do you respond? Or maybe how do you react? You see, my friends, in the moment when life happens, we have a great power for good or evil. And that power is wielded through what we say. Through what we say. And when I say say, what I mean is by what we communicate with our words, how we say our words, and with our countenance. Now, I didn't say anything to that person tailgating me the other day, but if they looked over at me, I guarantee you, my face was speaking volumes. And friends, if you don't think you have a superpower, right? If you don't think you have a superpower by what you say, by what you communicate in the moment, I want to point you to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And it says this, the tongue, right? What we say, how we say it, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Right, think of that. The tongue has the power of life and death. Let's push into this just a little deeper. You see, my friends, by how we either respond or react, we have the power to stir things up or calm things down. Or we can further divisiveness with our reaction or engender peace with a thoughtful response. Or we can react in anger and exacerbate a wound or respond with patience and bring healing. We have the power by a response or our reaction to tear up or to build down. We have the power to bring death and the power to bring life. And friends, as we will see, the Proverbs generally don't just say what is best to do or what is good to do, what we should do. They also tell us, almost every single one, they also tell us the consequences of not doing what is right, what is best, and what is good. In other words, our decisions, our actions, and our words are rarely morally neutral. By how we respond or react, in ways that are both large and small, we are either building up or tearing down, almost always. And friends, this is a call for us to be self-aware and spiritually aware of the leadership and the influence of the Spirit in our lives. So what I want to do is to take a look at some of these. Now, as we go through these, I'm going to comment a little, but not much, because they pretty much speak for themselves. And your job, your assignment that I give you is to go back, right? Read through these all again, consider them, pray through them, and see what perhaps God is saying to you and how you are living life in the moment. Okay, here we go. We're starting with Proverbs 15, verse 1. Right, this whole idea that in the moment, right, our response or reaction has great power. And the first idea is that in the moment, we have the power of kindness. The power of kindness. Proverbs 15, 1 says this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Okay? A person comes at you with anger, accusation. Do you react back in anger? Ratchet things up? I'm tempted to do it. Right? They had it coming. Or do you diffuse their wrath with kindness and listening? You know, we see this in 1 Peter. I'm going to reference 1 Peter again in a moment. In 1 Peter 3:9, Peter says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. And friends, therein lies great power. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It makes things worse. Just a few verses down in Proverbs 15:4, we read, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. The word soothing there is a reference to something that is medicinal. Right, kind words in the moment have the power to heal, not just to diffuse a situation, but to heal. You know, it's really interesting here. The writer uses the phrase, the tree of life. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. Well, there are three places in Scripture where we see reference to the tree of life. Obviously, it's in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1. We also see the tree of life in Revelation, in the vision near the end of it, of heaven. Right there is the tree of life. In both of these places, the tree of life is a representation of the presence and the goodness and the provision, the life, the very life of God. Here in Proverbs, we see the phrase four times. And each time it is a picture, it's this metaphorical, a powerful image of how our countenance, what we do, how our wisdom, and in this case, by what we say and how we say it, has the power to bring to another person the very goodness and provision and presence of God. My friends, our words in the moment are powerful. And then just a few more verses down still, Proverbs 15, 18. We read, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Again, when we react, it makes things worse. But with patience and kindness, we bring calm. Lastly on this thought, Proverbs 16 now. Proverbs 16, verse 24. This is a beautiful image. It reads, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Honey here is an image, not just of nourishment, but of joy. A picture of deep restoration and deep healing. My friends, this is the power we have with what we say. It's our superpower. Now, next big idea. In the moment, friends, we have the power to think. We have the power of thinking before we speak. All right, let's see what it has to say on this. Proverbs 15:28 says this, now the heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Friends, it is a marker of God's presence in our lives that we are people who think, who consider what we say. Well, what does that look like? I mean, how does that happen? A few things to consider, maybe a couple of questions. The first is, in that moment, boom, life happens. Do we breathe? Do we give time to think and consider? You know, friends, there is no natural law that demands an immediate response from us in virtually every dynamic or any dynamic of life. Because when we do immediately respond, we're most of the time not responding. We're reacting. You know, an important question. What is my motivation for what I'm thinking of saying right now? What's my motivation for what I'm about to say? Am I just defending myself, right? Protecting my pride, building myself up? Am I angry or fearful right now? Because if I am, I am so vulnerable to making a rash statement that I'm probably going to regret later and that may hurt me or hurt the other person. And then another question is just, do I need to say this? And if I think I really do need to say it, do I need to say it right now? It's a powerful phrase, a powerful image that we're given here of evil gushing, right? The mouth of the wicked gushes evil. You know, if I'm about to go on a rant, if I'm about to gush, that's a tip that I really need to examine what's going on in my heart. All right, moving on. Same concept, Proverbs 13:3 says this, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Right? When I think before I speak, when I give time and thought for a response, I'm not just protecting others from me, I'm protecting me from me. Another one, Proverbs 17:27, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. This is beautifully counterintuitive. We may think, you know, I have knowledge here in this situation. I've got knowledge. So much so that I need to let everyone know. I've got a lot to say. But on the contrary, Scripture tells us that knowledge and understanding will lead us to say less, not more. Right? In the moment, take time to think, to consider. Allow ourselves to be challenged. My friends, this is a powerful, powerful thing. Okay, moving on. And guys, this is a hard one. All right, so strap in. In the moment, life happens, and you have right there the power of letting it go, of letting it go. Proverbs 17:14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Yes, have you ever seen a video of a dam failing, of a dam being breached? Right, it just starts with a trickle, just a little bit. It's a little bit of erosion, a little bit of damage, and the trickle is more and is more and is more until in a very short period of time, there is a catastrophic failure of the entire dam, often leading to destruction of everything in its path. My friends, there are times, many times, when we just need to drop it, when we need to let things go and move on. But we may say, but Ethan, that person insulted me, or I may say self, that person just insulted me. I mean, I can't let him get away with that. It's not fair. Okay, so in order for me to satisfy my craving to be right, to defend my pride, I'm going to risk even greater destruction. An important thought. Guys, this isn't about being passive or this unhealthy dynamic of conflict avoidance that we sometimes get caught up in. There are times that wisdom will lead us to confront difficult issues, but never in haste and not out of pride and self-defense. And friends, it just may be that some of these situations and some of these things where we think we just have to say something, it well may be better to let it go. Proverbs 17:9 speaks to this as well. It says, whoever would foster love covers an offense, right? Not brings it up, not plows it, not exposes it. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense. But whoever repeats the matter, right? Whoever stirs it up and keeps it going, right? That separates close friends. We see this again in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, we are told that above all, you know the verse? Above all, love each other deeply, for love covers over a multitude of sin. Friends, we have the superpower of letting it go. Now, another one here, let's briefly touch on this. Friends, in the moment, we have the power to listen. To listen. Proverbs 18:13 says, this is powerful. I don't know if you might not be familiar with this one. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. If that is true, our country is full of a lot of fools because we like to speak and tell people what we think before we listen and seriously honor and consider what they have to say. Right, in the moment, we want to tell people what we think they need to hear. But friends, first, we need to listen. And that is a vanishing skill to first and sincerely listen, consider what a person is saying. But my friends, that is an action that is reflective of the heart of God. Now, moving on. This may be the most important one. Okay, this is the last one we're looking at. Friends, in the moment, life happens. We have the superpower of being silent, of saying nothing. Proverbs 11:12. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. But a question that we need to learn and internalize, do I really need to say this? And if I really have to debate a lot about whether or not I say this, then the answer is probably no. Well, a couple of weeks ago, there's something that just chapped my hide, to use a good Texas phrase. And I wrote this big, oh, you've done this. I just wrote this blistering email. And then I called my friend Greg, and I described it to him, and I said, I'm really struggling if I should send this. And he's like, Ethan, if you're struggling with whether or not you should send it, the answer's almost certainly no. And I didn't. I didn't, right? In the council of advisors, there is wisdom, right? I didn't. If we have to debate whether or not it's the right thing to say, it's probably not, right? The one who has understanding holds their tongue. Proverbs 12:23, the prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. You know, one of Proverbs' great themes is don't be a fool. How? Well, one big way, keep your mouth shut. Finally, in the theme of self-preservation, because the Proverbs also speak to this, Proverbs 17:28 says that even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. You know the modern take on that, don't you? It's better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Friends, here, there are times when there is wisdom and godliness in just keeping our mouth shut and being silent. Friends, through all of this, I'm just scratching the surface on this overall principle. The Proverbs are full of such wisdom, and it's very practical. But here's the big question that I thought of going through this. How do I do this? Right? How do we learn to change our patterns when life happens in the moment? How do we learn to respond rather than react? And friends, the answer to that is what we do before the moment. And it is the daily, moment by moment, purposeful choice to guard our hearts, to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, another maybe the first or second most famous Proverbs in all of Proverbs. Above all else, you know it? Above all else, my friends, church, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In Luke 6, Jesus said that same thing this way. He said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What is inside when we are squeezed is what comes out. And so, my friends, we guard our heart through the choice of our source. Our source, the choice of how we set our minds, the choice of where and to whom we look for life. I'm going to wrap with Philippians, out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Again, another very famous passage. You know it well. But given just what I've walked us through, consider this. What is our source? And how does it What difference does that make? How does God use this? And what comes out of us? And how we respond when life happens? Philippians 4, picking up in verse 4. And we read, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. For the Lord is near. He's right here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, right, all the time, as an ongoing pattern in our lives, ongoing foundation of how we live our lives, in every situation, with prayer and petition, and with gratitude, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, right, what's the peace of God going to do? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Paul just brings it home when he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Dwell on such things. Let these be our source, which brought to life by the Holy Spirit, which gives us a treasure of goodness inside. And then that's what comes out when life happens. Think about such things. Verse 9, and whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, put it into practice. Right? Respond with that. And the peace of God will be with you. Think about such things. Set our mind on things above, Paul would say elsewhere. Be filled with the Spirit. And Paul says, and the peace and the God of peace will be with you. And I'll just add to that, my friends. When we are filled with the Spirit, when we are thinking on these things, when we guard our heart through the choice of our source and our source of life, what we bring into us, being that which is good, then the peace of God will flow through us. The peace of God will flow through us in how we respond in the moment, in the moment. Guys, thanks for being with me today. Again, I encourage you, go back and read these Proverbs. Read the ones around them. You know, this is kind of like, you know, when you go on a website and it's got all the little, I'm just totally riffing here. Okay, note to Ethan, don't just make up something on the spot to add at the end of the video, but I'm committed now. So you're reading a news story and then there's something like, you know, here's 15 things that happen when you do this. And anyway, these little internet things that suck you in, and you look at one, and you look at one, and you look at one, and you just can't break out. Like when you're looking at memes on the internet, it just all of a sudden, an hour is gone. Guys, in an incredibly positive and redemptive way, boy, what a lame analogy that was. In an incredible positive and redemptive way, that's what the Proverbs are like. You can't have just one. So go back, go through these. Pray through how God would use these in your life. And then look around and see what you find. We'll be back in the Proverbs next week with the big theme of what we value. But until then, guys, I love you and thanks again for joining with me.